God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites, and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Verse 3, it says, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, so the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you, destroy you suddenly. But this you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. God does not want anything above himself. He does not want you to put anything, anybody, any religion above him. Verse 6, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples of the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were least of all people. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep his oath he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of the bondage and the hand of Pharaoh in Egypt. Verse 9, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, that the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face. To destroy them, he will not be slack with them who hates him. He will repay him to his face. In verse 11, therefore you shall keep the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 34 or 33 through 34 says, Paul is basically debating and giving truth about the resurrection, and then he adds this statement. He says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake the righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I left church last week, and I had a little time to get in the garden. And our rose, I plant sweet corn. I don't plant much of anything else. I got some tomatoes for Tabby, and that's easy to take care of. But I plant sweet corn, and for some reason, every year the sweet corn is overrun by weeds and grass and everything else. So as I'm on my hands and knees, because that's the only way to do it, the Lord showed me some things. I got a couple pictures I want to put up on the screen. And I want you to get these images in your mind and as we talk about today. And as you look and you can see the corn stalk and all the grass growing around it. If you was really looking at it, look how much grass was in the place. And what happens is that will literally destroy the plant. And see how that the grass is right next to the roots where you can't even hardly see the stalk of corn. So get that image in your mind today, because this is what happens and what Satan does in our life to just try to destroy you. See, it's the same with sin. It's the same with sin. As sin entangles into the root system of your life, it is so hard to get it out. Today's message will not be very long, but I believe it's a message today that will just literally change your life if you do the things that God said in Deuteronomy 7. Do not get everything out of the way. Do not take sons or daughters from the tribes that you're going into to destroy. Do not take them. Because they will corrupt. They will corrupt you. You know, when I planted the sweet corn, winter has been through and spring is starting to come in, and there's grass and there's weeds in the ground, and you go in and till it up. You prepare the ground. God has prepared us. When you've accepted Christ as your Savior, He pretty much cleaned out and cleaned off the ground of your heart. He cleaned it up. He turned it all over. He said, your sins are forever gone, right? From far as the east is from the west, there is no more. You are clean. Preparation of the ground takes time. Nowadays, they use chemicals and they spray the ground. Sometimes they don't till the ground, but back in the old days, they used to turn it down. You turn the ground over. You remember that? You remember going across the country and you'd smell that? You might not understand. Here, remember, but they would plow the ground and you could smell that freshness of the ground. You remember that? The freshness of the plowed ground? It's just there's just a certain smell that freshness of the turned over 12 inches of dirt, 14 inches of dirt, would just had that aroma. But there was a preparation that you turned the old things over to allow new growth to happen. And that's what God does in our life. He turns that old stuff over, forgets it as far as the east is from the west, and He allows us to become fresh. So He gets the ground prepared. It's all ready to go. And then we plant the seed. It's a great time to plant seed. The ground is clear of any weeds. You plant the seed and you wait. And as the seed emerges, as your life as a Christian begins to grow, you begin to prosper. And I know that as a farmer, as you plant, any gardener that plants anything, you love to see the seed come up, right? That means you did something right. Right? There's a lot that goes into that. There's preparation of the ground, there's fertilizer, there's things to keep things so it will grow and have nutrients. And this is our fertilizer. This is the stuff that we need to make sure that we read, to make sure that we continue to read, to grow our roots deeper in the Lord. Not only in the Lord and understand who He is, but in the situations in our life that we come across that we need to grab a hold of that, what we're deficient in. We got to search it out if we're deficient in something. So as I'm weeding these plants, and I noticed that, see, the corn is getting pretty tall now. And the grass seedlings or whatever they're called, whatever the grass is growing, and they're almost as tall as the corn. And what I noticed is some of it, when I grab a hold of it, it was pulling out the roots of the corn. Why is that? What happened? Yeah. Roots, the grass roots, which not supposed to be in there, got entangled with the roots of the corn. What happens to a Christian when sin gets entangled in the roots of your life? What happens when people, see, when you get saved, you, and I can remember myself that I turned away from all the friends I used to have. Because, see, my ground was turned over. I was fresh and God planted a seed in me. It was already planted, but there's roots and things, or there's weeds and stuff and came along, but finally God weeded it out and cleaned it out, and when I was fresh, I got rid of all those things around me. We can get entangled with people. Non-believers. And supposedly believers. And we can get entangled with people, and they grow so close to you, as that one picture showed, as the grass is right next to the corn, that it will destroy you. See, what happens is that grass is taking all the nutrients away from the corn stalk. Grass will grow faster than the corn. Corn is a grass. Just so you know. But the grass will grow faster and it will outgrow that corn. It will take all the sunlight away. It will take all the nutrients away from the stalk. A Christian that gets involved with supposedly Christians that are talking negative or being negative or not living their life correctly will pull you down and literally start to destroy you. And we wonder why that is. As we think, well, they go to church with us. They go to church. They go to this church or here and there. And we try to be like them, and we become like them, or we get suffocated out. I believe there's scripture in the Bible that tells us about that. The Bible tells us in Matthew 13:7, it says, and some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them out. And if I would let that go, that plant will be choked out, and it will verily produce any grain, let alone going in and trying to get it. One thing I have noticed is that weeds grow faster than the grain, than the corn. Amazing. You sit and watch the corn emerge out of the ground. There's nothing but the rows of corn. You get to see how straight you planted. You get to see if you did a good job or not, and the spacing of the corn. Did you do good? And then all of a sudden, it rained a couple times, and all of a sudden these little spriggly things come out of the ground. Cockaburrs, and grass, and all kinds of thorny weeds that you don't like. And I was like, how did that get there? Becoming a Christian doesn't mean that you don't maintain your garden. You have to maintain your garden. So as I begin to start this season of gardening out, I get my tiller, since we don't have any equipment anymore, field cultivators or anything. So I get my tiller out and I begin to walk the rows with the tiller down and back, down and back, down and back. And I do a good job. I'm doing a good job along, really doing a good job, except for in between the corn stalks. I can't get in there. And that stuff starts to grow. Then it starts to grow even more. It's like, man, I'm going to have to go in there and weed. I don't want to get, or call Lou up. Tabby was out there weeding. And here's what I'm trying to say. Even though I was maintaining the garden, there was other things sprouting up around it. Things I couldn't get to. But then what happened is the one picture where you see all the grass everywhere, that's everywhere. That grass was everywhere. Something happened to have that grass just grow up like that. You know what happened? Life. Life happened. It began to rain. Tabby needed me to do something. Had to come to church. I'm just saying. I'm putting her pool up. And the deck. But life began to happen. Got prayer night. Got to go to work. Somebody needs something. Need to go do this. You need to go do that. And then all of a sudden, what happens? You forget about maintaining your garden. I believe it sometimes is so that we forget to maintain our spiritual garden. We get before the Lord and we even forget to pray. We forget to do the things that we need to do, because this is the most important thing. If I would have maintained and stayed on top of that garden every day, I would have never had the issue right there. I would have never had that type, allowed it to get that far. But see, we don't see it when people come into our lives. The devil is a very good illusionist. Very good illusionist. And he can make things seem like it's okay. And so then you avoid, and you kind of just say, you know, man, this is, you question it, but then you, oh man, it seems like it's okay. And and you let it go. And then what happens is this thing begins to grow. Influence begins to happen. And then when it's times like when you find out it's wrong or something, man, this is not the way I want to live my life, or maybe I don't need to be around these people, it's almost too late, because when you begin to pull out those, because they get pretty tight, them big root balls of grass, you get pretty tight and you begin to pull them out, and all of a sudden you see that corn stalk come up with the roots. It's like, uh-oh, I'm gonna destroy the plant. And I destroyed a few, and you don't want to destroy even one single one. There's a lot of them out there. You don't want to destroy one. You don't want to destroy one. Don't let life get busy, and then all of a sudden it's so overwhelming that it's too much for you to take care of. It's in our life all the time, right? It's in our home life. You can let things go so long that it just gets so overwhelming that it's like, where do I even start? And then you never start because it's like it's way overwhelming in your mind. And you see these people with the hoarder syndrome. They didn't mean to get that way. It didn't mean to get that way. It happened because they put one thing down. One thing got placed on the counter. One thing got placed in the corner. Unnoticed. Not used. And then all of a sudden, another thing got placed in another corner. And over a course of time, and over a course of year or two, what you begin to have is paths through the house, where you can place absolutely nothing anymore in the house but a path that walks through from the kitchen to the living room, where you cannot sit because there's things everywhere. Because we have allowed it. We get so used to it. We get so used to the sin around us. We get so used to the people around us that we become like those people. And God has called us to be a people set apart. He said, I am your God. He's the one that wraps his arms around you. And in Deuteronomy 7, he said, hey, you're going in to take this land. And I'm telling you right now, do not take on these other gods. Do not let your sons marry the daughters of them, because what will happen is they will turn them away from me. This is what's happening in the world today. The church, people in the church are falling away from the church in a great number. They are being so influenced by the world, and the world is saying this is the way it's supposed to be, love. But what I'm telling you is God has said, hey, I told you in Deuteronomy, do not take any of those ladies or young men and bring them into your household. Matthew 13, 24 to 30, it says, Jesus talks another parable. In another parable he put forth to them saying this, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, and the tares also appeared, so the servant to the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us to go out and gather them up? Do I go out and gather the tares? Do I go out and gather the weeds? And he said to them, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them into the bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So listen to this. He sowed in his field wheat. He went to sleep unaware, he did not know that the enemy came in and sowed not wheat, some kind of foreign plant that looked like wheat. So he did not know it was wheat until the maturity of the wheat. As the wheat began to put on this grain, this other foreign plant put on a different type of head. It put on a different type of grain. And he said, hold it. The roots have already entangled in with it. Now we got to let it grow. See, what I'm trying to tell you today is do not let it grow until the time of the harvest. What I'm telling you to do is get it out now before it gets rooted into your roots. This is where we need to be as a people. We need to watch and guard who we let into our lives. We need to watch and guard the things that we do that will allow the enemy to kind of look like what it's supposed to be look like. It kind of looks like being a Christian, but ain't. But they act like it. They say, they talk like it. They quote scripture like it. But it doesn't reveal in the fruit of it, doesn't reveal what they are. Up until the harvest is when it's detected. Listen to this. I got a few scriptures. Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits at the seat of the scornful. This is David. Don't sit in the counsel of the ungodly. We have Christians doing it every day. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Proverbs 14:7-11 says, go from the presence of the foolish man. Go away. Get away from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. Listen to me. When you start to hear someone that thinks they have wisdom and they begin to spew off negative stuff, it's time to get away. It's time to cut it off right then. This is not me speaking. This is Solomon. He's supposed to be the wisest man, right? He says, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his ways, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools mock at sin. See, a lot of Christians mock at sin. But among the upright there is favor. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not shame its joy. The house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. I have one more. 1 Corinthians 5:10-13. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexual immorality of people of the world, or with covetous, or with extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you to keep company with anyone named a brother. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone who is named a brother, who is sexual immoral, or covetous, or an adulterer, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. Not even to eat with such a person. Let me say that one more time, because I didn't say not. Let's read it one more time. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother. Who's he talking about? A Christian. One professing to be a Christian. One professing to be a Christian. He says, with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, covetous, wants somebody else's stuff, wants somebody else, he's coveting things. Or an idolater, somebody that loves something else other than God, something that is idolatrating something else. A reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner. Not even to eat with such a person. That takes the level up that says, hold on. What have we been doing? For what I have, I to do with judging those also who are outside. Who are outside of the church, who are outside of the brothership. We don't judge those. It's not our place. If you think it's your place to go out into the colleges and schools and places and condemn those children because they have no clue, it is not our place. It is not our place to judge them. It is our place to give them the love of God. It is our place to show them who God is, not that he is a God that's going to throw you in hell. That is the outcome if you don't know him. But what you're supposed to do is go out and love on the people and show them who God is, because we are not supposed to judge the ones that are not in a church. But if you're in a church and you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing, you might say, oh, the Bible says don't judge. I'm telling you what, the Bible says I am to judge you. I am to hold you accountable. I am to pull you from the pit. I'm supposed to pull you out of that place. If you choose not to come out of that place, I'm supposed to break fellowship with you and say, hey, I'm done, man. I can't hang around you. The Bible tells me, this is New Testament, the Bible tells me that I am not supposed to hang out with you until you change your mind. Do not judge those who are, or do you not, though, who are inside you judge? That's inside the church. But those who are outside, God judges. It's not for us. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. You guys have a great time at your reunion. So as we close, you almost made it. So as we close, we were talking about the weeds in our life, okay? Yes. All right. Talking about weeds in our life, okay? Wednesday night, we have prayer service. Every Wednesday night. And we prayed and we finished. And I sat down up here, and what I noticed was, you know what sod is? Y'all know what sod is, right? We're grass. It's grass that you put in your yard. It's lawn or sod. What happens to those roots? You could call it zoe grass. Zoe grass is one that's really, really rooted together. But most grass, if you ever try to dig in sod, take a post-hole digger, or you begin to try to dig sod, what happens? The first layer is like really hard. Why? Because the roots are so entangled together, it is one body. It is one piece. All across the whole lawn, it is one piece. God has called the church to be like that. And so when I sat here on Wednesday night and I watched this group of people fellowshipping, I have not seen a closeness in this church like that in a long, 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 long time. And what I seen was God was putting and mending together, intertwining people, locking them together in the knowledge and understanding of the Lord and the love of God that is hard to break apart. That's what he's called the church to be. Not just this church, but he's called us to be that with other churches. See, that the church in the beginning was all knitted together in like-mindedness. That they sold things and they gave them to the people so they could be like them and be okay and have food and have shelter and they were taken care of. And so what I'm seeing is our church is coming together in a place as God intended it, in a tight-knit group. If you miss Wednesday nights, come. You can come. It stays daylight till 10 now, if you don't like to drive at night. But I know it's hard. Getting the ground ready for seedlings is hard. You think about 1950s. Was it 50s or was it 50s? They're still pulling horses? 40s? 40s. And how they had to work the ground. Even in the 50s where they had these 2-3 bottom plows and back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth, all day long. all day long getting the ground ready. Then they would get the disc out and begin to work the ground to get it ready, to get it ready for the seed. They worked really hard to get ready for the seed. You know, the thing is with the Lord, we didn't have to do any work. We just had to surrender. We had to surrender our life. And that was it. He did all the work for us through the Son. Before the foundations of the earth was even formed, right? We talked about that last week and the week before, that Jesus and the Father made a covenant together. Jesus fulfilled it on the cross. And now all the work is done. He said, it is finished. There's nothing that me or you have to do except just accept Him as our Savior. And then all we have to do then is weed our garden. We keep those things out that's not supposed to come in. We take those things and we put the fertilizer in our life, and we put the fertilizer in the ground that we're growing in. And then all of a sudden you flourish. I believe Jesus talks about it in John 17, and He talks as Father, as we are one, and as they are one with us, and let them all be one together. Let us all be one together. And that's paraphrasing it, but He says, let's knit them together. He sends His Holy Spirit here so we can be knitted with Him. Philippians 2, 1 and 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. When I sat here Wednesday night, that's what I seen. I seen the heart of the Father together. Like-mindedness and a compassion and love and a bonding together in unity. In Psalms 133, 1 through 3 says this, Behold, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Listen to this. Here's what He said about it. He said, it is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edges of his garment. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, life forevermore. It's like when you pour out oil and it runs all down. You get in the shower and it runs all down you. It is the unity of the body that the Lord loves. I know there's people here today that have friends in their life that are pulling you down, you just don't notice it. How can you pull them up? How could you bring them up? We share the gospel with them. We love on them. We pray for them. Here's the thing. We don't act like them. Don't allow those weeds to overtake you and overtake the place where you're planted. Amen? Father God, I come before You today, and I thank You for all You do. How You give us revelation out of little things, Lord, of just gardening, pulling weeds. It's how You used to teach, Lord, that they would have understood. Life is so precious, and where You have planted us, and the seed that You have placed in us, and the life that we are living for You. Father, I know that the enemy is going to come in and try to come alongside some of us and try to destroy us, but not destroy us in a way. It's going to be a slow way of destroying. As they literally suck out the nutrients from You, to suck out the life from You.